God's music and the song. There's nothing sometimes wrong with the song. It's wrong with those that wrote it. You got to watch those artists, if you want to call it, that you follow. Because their life don't match up what they sing, what they believe. And so the Lord says, don't remove the ancient landmarks. We ought to sing songs, spiritual songs, those songs, not get away from what God's given us. And those songs, Martin Luther actually started writing. That's where hymns come from. Martin Luther started writing those so people would know their doctrine, know what the Bible teaches. That's what doctrine means, belief and teaching. When people say, I'm not for doctrine, well, that means they're saying they're not for belief or teaching. They're not for what the Word of God teaches. And so Martin Luther began to write hymns and songs that people would know their doctrine, know what the Bible teaches. And so don't try to get away from the hymns. That's trying to get away from what the Bible teaches. And nothing wrong with other good songs, hymns, spiritual songs. But you have to watch those artists. Genesis chapter number 24. I won't charge you for that message. It might not have been worth anything, so don't tell me. Genesis chapter number 24. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and to take a wife unto my son Isaac. I would like to read this whole chapter, but it's 61 verses, so I cannot read all of that. But if you would skip down to verse number 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And then look, if you would, in verse number 51. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd guide me. And Lord, you said in your word that you said, fear not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will hold thee at the right hand of thy righteousness. And Lord, I pray that you'd do that for me. And Lord, you said you'd give strength to those that have no might and those that are faint. And I pray you do that to me and those that are hearing, Lord, and able to hear. Lord, you said in your word, he that hath the ear, let him hear. God, I pray that you'd give us an ear and wish to hear. Even you, give us that. And give us a heart in which we can understand. Help me to be used, Lord. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Genesis 24, look if you would, verse number 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And this little statement, I being in the way, this statement, the Lord led me. The Lord led me. Oftentimes, as Christians, at least in my own life, I don't think the Lord lead me all the time. I'm talking about in the mundane, the ordinary things. I'm not looking as far as all the time for the Lord to lead me. I want Him to lead me, but I'm not always conscious of Him leading me. And I don't believe that you're conscious of the Lord leading you to the restaurant, maybe, until after we get through here. You might be more conscious, but I seriously doubt you and I are saying, Lord, help us to pick the right restaurant. You say, God wouldn't be into that. I won't tell you He is. Because you can have a witness to a certain waitress or to someone you sit there in that waiting room that God will give you a divine appointment. And so the Lord does lead us. And He leads His believers. But most of the time, we don't think about those everyday, mundane, ordinary decisions. But here in this particular chapter is dealing with a wedding. Now, I want to tell you something. I remember getting married. And I wanted to make sure I found the right wife. And I believe with all my heart I did. But I will make sure I got it right. There's a few young people in here that one of these days, if the Lord tarries, is coming, you're going to have an opportunity to get married. And so you're going to make sure you make the right decision. And the Lord says in this verse, that's exactly what this unnamed servant was going to get, a bride for his master, for Isaac, but also, like I said, Abraham's son. And so he was going to fetch a bride. I don't know if I'd let somebody else go look for me, my bride. But that's the way they did it in that custom in that day. And they still do it oftentimes in other customs. And in the East, those marriage are kind of set by the family there, already maybe even preordained. And so when we look at here, we're looking exactly, like I said, this is a marriage day. This whole chapter, the 24th chapter, is dealing with more than just the marriage. Dealing with the spiritual truth, and I'm probably going to deal with that more tonight than I will this morning. I'm going to deal with spiritual truth, at least in spirit, but it's going to be more on principles than practicality today. But tonight it's going to be on the principle or the spiritual part that I believe there's emphasis, and I don't believe, I know without a shadow of a doubt, that God is teaching us in this 24th chapter. It is, this 24th chapter is God's plan. Now, He takes 61 verses to tell us about a marriage. He takes about 30, a little over 30 verses to tell us about creation. There ought to be something here the Lord's trying to teach us. He's trying to teach His church. And this chapter is more than a marriage. It's about what the work of God is and about the work of the church. You say, I didn't think the church was in the Old Testament. Well, the Word may not be there, but God's work is there. And this is the work of the church. And this is the work and plan of God there, this unnamed servant. You say, who's the unnamed servant? You and me. The Holy Spirit working through us. I'm talking about tonight's message, but I'm trying to give you an emphasis on what's going on in this portion of Scripture. But in here, like I said, Abraham was well of age. He was well stricken in years. I was reading, I had told somebody in Sunday school, they said if you were 60 to 70, in the Jewish, they would say that you were an elder, a mature person. If you were from 70 to 80, they would say that you had a hoary head, because you used to have gray hair. But if you're over 80 years old, they would say you're well stricken in years. And I kind of laughed when I read that. That's what the Jews would say. And so some of you may be well stricken in years. You don't see it that way. But Abraham was well stricken in years. He was at least 140 years old. That's pretty old. And he had a son named Isaac, the promised son, the promised seed. And God had told Abraham, He said, you will have a son, and out of him would be the seed of the nations, but also the promised son would come from him, and all the nations and all the people of the earth would be blessed. And so, in order for that to take place, there has to be a marriage. And so Isaac at 40 years old, Abraham's about to die. If you look at the next chapter there, you'll see he passes away a few years later. But in the process of there, he says, I need to get my son a wife. Now his mother had just passed away at 127 years old, and Abraham would have been 137 at that time. And so he goes to a servant, Abraham does, goes to an unnamed servant. Probably was Eleazar, maybe not. Bible doesn't tell us. We know that his eldest servant was Eleazar at the time, but he may have been passed on. We don't know that at the time. God doesn't give that as an emphasis. But he goes to his oldest servant and makes an oath with him. He said, I want you to make an oath. I want you to swear with me. This is what I want you to do. I don't want you to get a wife from this country. Even though this was God's promised land, Canaanite, or the land of Canaan, he said, I want you to go back to my country, to my kindred, to my people, and I want you to find a wife there. And so he made an oath with him. The servant said, I'll do exactly what you told me to do. He set off with really the wealth, the dowry there for a new bride. And so he goes there, has some other servants with him, I'm sure, and they travel there to the Mesopotamia, the Fertile Crescent. And that's that's about 900 miles. It's about a 2 month journey on camels. And so he heads back and he comes to place. He has so much of his orders, he knows what he's supposed to do, but who in the world is he going to pick? What girl is going to be the right pick? That's like trying to find a needle in a haystack, even if you're in a city. And so he had to go to the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm asking specifically. He begins to pray. And he has a plan in his heart, and he presents it to the Lord. Probably God gave him that plan, I'm sure, and he presents it to the Lord. As soon as while he was almost still praying, God answered his prayer. Girl comes down to the well, and he said, "Can I get a little drink of water?" And so she dips her pitcher there to get water. That was the time when the ladies would come to get water. And so she grabs some water there for him. She said, "Wait a minute, I'll also give your camels water." Now, he had 10 camels with him. I say a camel can drink 5 gallons, one camel, by itself, on average. So that was 50 gallons of water there. At least that she had to bring out that well, come out of the well, and put it in a trough for them to drink. And so that was the rest of this prayer, that this girl would do that. And so he's standing there in amazement how God is answering his prayer. And he says, "Well, look," he said, "do you have a place that we could stay? Where are you from? Who's your family? Do you have room for us?" He begins to ask some questions. Wants to know, "Lord, is this the one?" Well, it comes out, make a long story short, if I can, she was the daughter or the granddaughter of Abraham's brother. God had led here to the first lady right there. I mean, he didn't have to look all around. He didn't have to search. You the one, you the one, you the one. God led him all the way. And that's what we have in the 27th verse. The Lord led me. The Lord led me. And so when I look at this portion of Scripture, even I know the emphasis of this portion of Scripture, I do believe there is another principle here God is teaching about leading His children so they can make the right decisions that are necessary for our own life. I want you to show you in Scripture. We see it in verse number 27. He said, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." In verse number 40, look if you would what he said. "And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel unto thee and prosper," what does it say? "Prosper thy" what? "Way." Look if you would, verse number 48. "And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right," what did it say? "Way." Led me in the right way. And then I want you to look at verse number 56. "And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my" what? "Way." Prospered my way. "Send me away that I may go to my master." And so all through this portion of Scripture, you see that God is directing the way. He's prosperous in his way. He's found the right way. And he's in the way. And so I just want to share with you these things that I want to be. I don't know about you, but I want God to prosper my journey. Not just to find a wife. I've already found that. Thank the Lord. But I want the Lord to prosper me every day of my life. I want God to lead me in every area of life. And so we need to know to have the Lord lead us. And so the first thing I want to just mention to you, first we need to be in the way for the Lord to lead us. Look at verse number 27 again. "And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." Now he's worshiping here because God's answering his prayer. He said, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." Did you get that? You say, "I want the Lord to lead me. I want to be prosperous. I want God's blessing on my life. I want the absolute will of God." Are we in the way so God can do that? You say, "What do you mean by in the way?" I'm going to try to help you, at least practically, I told you. This servant, he was called a servant. We don't know his name, but I will tell you this, the Lord does reveal to us his heart. He had a servant's heart. God can talk to people. God can help people. God will lead people. God will bring them to the place that they need to be if they're willing to be led. I had a friend of mine that in Tennessee, we were good friends. And the Lord brought me into his life. And in the process of walking with him and talking to him, I began to share with him what God had put in my heart. And I began to try to disciple him and show him the way, really how to grow in the Lord. And God gave me that opportunity. But there came a time in his life where either a disagreement, but somewhere he shut the door. And I couldn't lead him any further. You probably run into that with your own children. When they get teenagers, You brought them so far, but somewhere they closed the door on you. You can't lead them any further. And the people have to be in the way in order to be led. We want the prosperity. We want God's blessing, but we have to be willing to be led. And so not every child of God is being led. They could be led, but not every child of God is a servant, willing to be led. Let me give you some things, what it means to be in the way. One, a person who desires to be led. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to answer out loud, but in your heart, do you desire to be led? Do you desire to be led? Let me give you another one. One who will be led. Will you be led? That's a choice only you can make. That's a choice only I can make. We desire it, but will I be led? Will you be led? And then I can say this, one who is being led. That's what it means to be, I being in the way the Lord led me. One who is being led. You can say, well, Lord, I desire it. Lord, I'm willing, but I'm doing nothing. So in your own heart, can you think, can you really honestly say that to the Lord? That I'm willing, that I desire, but I'm not doing anything? Now look, there is something for every one of us that we could be doing for God, for His service, for His work. Every one of us. And so the fact that we're not doing it is not this pastor's fault. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Because we say we have the desire. We say we have the will. But yet we do nothing to take a step forward. And so when I look at these things, what it means to be I being away means I have to have a willing heart, but also an obedient heart. A willing heart, but also an obedient heart. That makes all the difference in the world. Most of us, like I said, would say we desire. But somehow we put a stipulation. We say, Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I want to be led. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Over mountain or plain or sea, as the song says. But when we say, the Lord says, I want you to go here, we say, I'll go anywhere but here. Lord, I'll give you the Lord's day, this part of it, but not this part of it. Lord, I'll give you devotional life, but not give you the best part of it. Lord, I'll give you a few minutes in prayer. You see what I mean? We always, as long as we put our stipulation, and I don't know what yours is, but I know in our heart, the devil says, you know what, you don't have time for that. And so we say, I'll do this, Lord, if you allow me to do this. If it works out this way. God can only bring this preacher so far. And He can only bring you so far till we say no to the Lord. Lord, I'll go with you this far. That's it. There was a man that told a story when I surrendered to preach, and I didn't surrender to preach over the story. But God was working in my heart. I was in a Sword of the Lord conference, and God had been dealing with my heart on surrendering to the ministry, full-time ministry, to be called to preach. I knew the Lord had been dealing in my heart, but I had been made some preparation in my heart for God to speak to me. And I didn't like the man that was preaching, at least in my heart at that time. I didn't like him. Didn't want to hear him. But God used him in my life to call me, or at least help me to surrender. And so oftentimes we put things and say, I'm not going down, I don't hear it. You limit God. Because I have seen in my own life, the people that I do not like is usually the one God uses to speak to my heart. And so you have to be open to those things. And so I went there and he was telling a story about a man that was called to the mission field. And so he told his wife about, I believe God's called me to the full-time mission field. And she said this, she said, I'm not going to the darkest part of the world. And I'm not going to take my children. That's not what I gave my life for. That's not what I married for you. And I'm not going. And so she refused to go. He was an electrician and he did some work. I don't know if he's either on the side or part of his work, but he was wiring this house almost like a cabin in the woods. And he had his two boys with him, little boys there. And he had a crawl space and he couldn't get underneath to fish the wire down. And so he sent his little son underneath to try to grab the wire as he pushed it through the floor. And his son went underneath there and crawled in to a nest of rattlesnakes. And so his son begins to start screaming and hollering. His daddy crawled under the mess. He couldn't grab his leg and pulled him out. He had been bit just all places. And so he grabs up his son and begins to rush him. Said, "Where's the other son?" They couldn't find the other son. He's playing around. And so, "We don't have time." He said, "You stay here." He said, "I've got to take this boy to the emergency room." And so he gets in the car, puts it in reverse, and backs over the other son. And so they grab the other son. All of them go to the hospital. The mother carries there that son, and they pronounce the one dead when he comes to the hospital. Has been backed over, pronounce him dead. The other one has been bitten by the rattlesnakes. Take him back there in the hospital. They begin to work on him, but his body is so little and the venom so much, they come out and they said, couldn't save him. And so he died. And the story the man said is that that woman, when she heard the death of her second child, he said her eyes rolled back her head. And she died at that moment. I believe it had been safer. Now, he gave testimony and gave record that was a true story. I believe it had been safer in the will of God. But she had put the door and said, "God, I'll go here, but I won't go here." God wants to lead us, but we have to be willing to be led. And so we have to have a willing heart. We have to have an obedient heart. We all want the green pastures. We all want the still waters. We all want the restoration of our soul. We all want God to make a table in the wilderness before our enemies. We all want the 23rd Psalm. But the statement that David made, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other words, David was saying, "I am the sheep. God is my shepherd. Wherever He leads me, I'll go. Wherever He leads me, I'll go." And so you can have those green pastures. You can have the restoration, but you have to be willing to be led. And so let me see if I can illustrate to you, because I believe this is very important, that we need to be in the way. A willing heart, an obedient heart. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 20 with me. Matthew chapter number 20. The Lord illustrates this, I believe, here in this parable of the laborers. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 1. He begins in verse number 1. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace." Verse 4, "And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way." Now you remember, the first people he hired to go in the vineyard, they first had to have an agreement of payment before they went to work. Did you see that? They had to agree with the Lord. "Lord, as long as this agreement is there, I'll go work for you. Like if we have a job, if you pay me X amount of money, I'm going to work for you. Not..." That's what they said. And this is the picture, like I said, this is the Lord. And so he goes on to say, he said about verse 4, the third hour, he said unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you." And they went their way. Verse 5, "Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth, and did likewise." Verse 6, "And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and say unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle?" Then I want you to skip down to verse number 10. "But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny." Now they got mad because here's somebody hired on the 11th hour. They're about to quit. They get paid a penny. These that were hired on the first hour with an agreement, they think, "Whoa, we're going to get all kinds of help. We're going to get all kinds of wealth." And so when it comes to them getting paid, they get here just a penny. Verse number 11, "And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Doest thou agree with me for a penny?" And I want you to read the last verse, verse 16. "So that the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." You know, that's a baffling statement, the last one I read. A lot of times I believe people are not chosen because they put a stipulation
with God. They say, Lord, I want this. They say they're willing. They say they have a desire. But they will not be obedient. They won't step out. They won't do. They put a stipulation, Lord, as long as it's this way, as long as it's my way, I'll do it. God cannot lead a person like that. You know it by just taking someone, your own child, or someone you work with. There are certain things you can work with and certain things you can't. But when a person says, I will not, or I'm going this far, you can't go any further. And the same with God. God doesn't want half of us. He wants all of us. He wants all of my heart. And He wants all of your heart. And so we need, I'm trying to illustrate, we don't need to bargain with the Lord. Not only that, we need to have a willing heart, but we need to have an obedient heart. In Acts chapter number 13, verse number 2, the Lord talks about the church of Antioch. God was beginning His work in this church, and Saul had been saved. All right? Saul was persecuting the church. God saved him. He got in this church of Antioch and began to work and minister unto the Lord. He began to work in the Lord. You say, how can I minister to the Lord? Get in the church, start working. You say, what's the work of the church? I can tell you, the number one work of the church is what you see in this 24th chapter. You say, I want to know what that is. Well, you come tonight, I'll show you. I'll tell you. And so, they began to minister to the Lord. Barnabas was there in that church. He began to minister to the Lord. The Bible says it exactly the way. They began to minister to the Lord. And this is what the Bible says. Let me see if I can read it to you. The Holy Spirit said to this church, separate me Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now God had a place. He wanted to lead them. He wanted to call them. He had a direction for their life. How did they find that direction? By ministering to the Lord in everyday, mundane things in God's house and His church. As I found it. That's how Barnabas found it. That's how Saul found it. And that's how you're going to find it. That's how I'm going to find it as we just obedient to the Lord. I remember years ago I asked a preacher there, who was an assistant pastor in the church. I said, how is it a man knows the will of God for his life? He said, you get busy doing what you know to do and God reveal the rest. I thought, man, that just doesn't sound exciting. That's not the answer I wanted. I wanted some deep theological, this is step by step, had to do. But I want to tell you something, that couldn't have been a better advice. You just obey what you know to do. In your heart, I want you to ask right now, what is it that I know that I should do? I want you to ask that in your heart. Don't answer out loud. But what is it you know that you're supposed to do? What are you supposed to do with the Lord's house? What are you supposed to do with a devotional life? What are you supposed to do with His Word? What are you supposed to do with His house? What are you supposed to do with His witness? Now you know it. And that's what Barnabas and Saul were doing. They were ministering unto the Lord. And when they ministered to the Lord, God said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work whereunto I have called them. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And so when you say, I want God to bless me, then we need to be in the way where the Lord can bless us. Let me give you number two. The Lord leads not only in the way, but He leads the right way. You know, you say, you begin to be like Paul and Barnabas. I want to tell you something. You can be zealous, but you can go the wrong way. You know that? You can go the wrong way. Let me see if I can show you. I've already read this verse, but back over Genesis chapter number 24. Look, you would, verse number 48. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master, Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Now look, there is a way, and there's many ways, but there's only the right way that God has to lead us. There's a right way to find out the absolute will of God. Now you know, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. There's much of what we struggle with about being led or knowing the specific will of God is because God's already revealed His known will of God in His Word. I'm going to say that again. If you want to know the specific will of God, God has already given you most of that already in His known will of God in His Word. If you're not in it, He's not going to reveal it more to you. And so we need to be obedient to His Word. And so when we get in there, God wants to show us the right way. And like I said, you could be zealous, you could be saved, you could be on fire, and you could go the wrong way. I used to work with some guys. You say, I don't know if I believe that. Remember Peter? Peter was zealous. And so as soon as they came to take the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what Peter did? He pulled that sword and he smote off the ear of the high priest's servants. He was zealous. He was one of God's disciples. But he wasn't doing it the right way. And you can be zealous. And you can be on fire and do it the wrong way. And Peter was the leader of the church. And he started out the wrong way. At least in that instance. I used to work with some guys and man, they would say, I remember we were working at a Colgate factory. And they called me in. They were having some problems. They called me in over there and I was working with this guy. And he said, man, let's just do something. He said, I don't care if it's wrong. Let's just do something. But that was their attitude. I had a fellow that worked with me over at the hospital over here. And they came, sent him down to help me. I sent him off to do some stuff. And he thought he was doing it, I guess, the right way. But everything he did was the wrong way. I had to go back and redo every bit of his work. It wasn't a help to him, it was a hurt to me. Why? Because he was doing it the wrong way. And God gives us some principles on the right way. And so we're zealous. Let me give you some principles real quick there. Besides I being in the way, did God basically commission it? Has God commissioned it? Has God put His stamp on it? In other words, is this the will of God for you? Is this the will of God for you? You say, Brother Sewell, I don't know if I can necessarily know that. Well, you might not. But a missionary, God didn't intend everybody to be a missionary. He didn't call everybody to be a pastor. He didn't call everybody to be an evangelist. Now, you may be on fire, and you may have a desire in your heart to witness to people, to share the gospel. Brother, I did, and I do. But that doesn't mean you're called to the full-time service. And so we need to find out what is God's will for us. I can safely say for the most of you, God intends on you to be married and wants you to be married. The Lord says there, for if man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. Nothing wrong with marriage. And so much of what we want to do, we have to say, Lord, is this your will? And a lot of times, if it's in the Word of God, then it is His will, but not all the times. It may be in His Word, but it may not be for you. So let me give you, not only did He commission it, remember, like I said, He commissioned to that servant, He made an oath, and He gave him direct orders what to do. He was commissioned by God. He was commissioned by Abraham. I'll give you number two. We need to follow God's divine leadership. That leads me into His Word. For instance, marriage. I got married, but I had a girl, my wife, I don't know if I've even told her this, but I had a girl I thought I was going to marry. And so in the process, when I began to think I was going to love with her and thought I was going to marry, praise the Lord, I didn't. But I went to my parents, I began to talk to them, and they asked me, is she a saved girl? She know the Lord. She born again. I said, I don't know. So I asked her. She wasn't. She was lost. And so a lot of times you say, well, what does that mean? Let me give you what God's Word says. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Let me read that again to you because most of you are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. 2 Corinthians 6, 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That doesn't just mean with marriage alone, even though it's referred to. You ought not be unequally yoked in a business relationship. You ought not be unequally yoked in a religion or religious relationship. I'm not talking about your friends. I'm talking about the church. There are people that are saved, know what God's Word teaches, but yet they're in another church that teaches a false doctrine. They ought not be. And so the Lord says here, be not unequally yoked. These things, when it comes to marriage, you may say, I love her. You may say, I love him. But God's Word goes on to say, gives us specifics what you think is the will of God. God says if she's not saved, he's not saved, and you are, it's not the will of God. By the way, let's go a little further. Does he say he's saved? And does he say, show he's saved? You know, everybody says they're saved today. Everybody. Why don't you go a little further and say, how do you know you're saved? Most people say, well, I feel I'm a pretty good person. That's not what the Bible teaches. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every man has gone his own way. So the Bible says, so you go a little further. And so if a man says, hey, I'm saved, you say, I'm in love with him. He says he's saved, but he doesn't go to church, doesn't honor God. I'm going to tell you something. That is not God's will for your life. And so you look at it, I'm just saying, you say, well, I think I know what it is. Go a little further. Look at God's Word. Business relationship. God says that those men that come in business together, that are one wants to honor God, one's a thief, he's lost, you ought not be in relationship with that fellow when it comes to business. The Bible's clear on these things. And so we need to look at the Word of God. Let me go quickly. Number three, have we prayed about it? Have we prayed about it? Look at verse number 12. Now, this man didn't know how to go any further. He knew he had his direct orders. He knew what the Word was told him, and so he went so far. But he got to a place, I don't know which girl. I know the town I need to go to, but I don't know where the family is, and I don't know which girl she ought to be. And so he began to pray, and by the way, he prayed specifically. And so if you say, if you're not willing to pray about it, I won't tell you, it's not the will of God for you. You're not willing to pray about it. And so you need to be willing to pray about it and give it to the Lord and say, Lord, not my will. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter number 3. I want to show you a verse that we often quote. Proverbs chapter number 3. Look at what verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What does that mean? Just what it says. You trust the Lord with every bit of your heart. If it's God's will, you go that way. But if it's not God's will, you put it in His hands and let Him have the decision. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let Him make that decision. The Word of God can give you specifics to help you come at least to the place where you ought to be, and then you begin to pray about it. Say, Lord, is there peace in there? All this seems to be fit, but I'm going to ask you and begin to pray and maybe lay a fleece out like Gideon did and let God begin to open the doors and reveal Himself to you in a greater way. And so you can begin to worship. Say, Lord, I know You're in it because I know You answered my prayer specifically in this way. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Brother, we all have what we think. Well, I think. Is that your understanding? Is that what God's Word teaches? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your or to my understanding. He goes on to say, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Have you prayed about it? In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Have you prayed about it? If you hadn't prayed about it, you haven't acknowledged Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. The right way. So many people say, Lord, I'm willing. But they're not in the way. They don't have a willing heart. They don't have an obedient heart. And then they say, well, Lord, I want Your will. But when God reveals it, they don't want to do it. They say, I love her. You see what I mean? God gives a principle that we ought to get in this Word. Is it God's commissioned will? Does God reveal anything about that situation in His Word? And have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? The Bible says to ask, but then knock and seek. You can pray all day long, but you ought to go out there and say, just like a job, I want a job. You can pray all day long, but if you don't put an application in, don't expect to get a job. I know because I put in 27 in one day on one street when I was a young man. I didn't get any of those jobs, believe it or not. Lord was working in my heart. I'm just trying to show you there the right way. And then lastly, just very quickly, is the blessed way. The blessed way. In verse number 40 and verse number 56, it says, He prospered my way. He prospered my way. Look at verse 56. And He said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. You know what that is? That's the blessed way. The blessed way. When you take and you say, I'm going to be in the way, I'm going to have not only a willing heart, but an obedient heart. I'm going to be doing what God has revealed in my heart. And then I begin to search further. Is it the will of God? Begin to get in His Word. Begin to pray about it and seek counsel from good people and godly people and in His Word. And then we begin to pray and God begins to open those doors. You know what you begin to do? You have a rejoicing heart and a blessed heart because you see God working in your life in a specific way. And you begin to say and worship and testify to the Lord, but also to others. Let me share with you what God has done for me. God's people, I've often wondered, why aren't they rejoicing? Why aren't they blessed people, or at least think they are? Why aren't they sharing what God is doing in their heart? Why aren't they sharing prayer requests God has answered? I believe it comes down to the simple thing, is they're not willing to be led by God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed.